Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we're happening, man, at the Whitmore Country Club out west. We are here for the Ted Savage Golf Classic, the Cardinals Care Golf Classic, and we go to the guest line in hour two of the show. It is Chris and Amy, the host of Sports Open Line, Redbird Rush Hour, and Cardinals pre- and post-game coverage is Matt Pauley, and he is with us now on KMOX. Hello, Matthew.
Hello.
So, won a series against the A's. That's nice.
Yeah, the A's came in overall over the last few weeks playing some pretty good baseball. They didn't play great the series before, but the big picture lately, they've been playing good baseball. I don't think they're a very good matchup for the Cardinals either, just the way that they approach things, their aggressiveness at the plate. So, I would argue that was a very good 3 days overall for the Cardinals.
Well, that was a fun 3 days, and this weekend's going to be fun because Yadier Molina will return as a visiting coach this weekend.
Yeah, all the Hall of Fame stuff is going on, and he's got some connections to some people there. So this is good, and I think, look, there's people who try to make it more than it is. I really think this is Oliver Marmol really enjoying having a guy like Molina in the dugout. And, Jimmy Crooks is here now, so it's an opportunity to get him around one of your young catchers, which is great. I see kind of the sarcastic messaging on social media. Oh, it's just the Cardinals trying to do something to sell tickets. You really think somebody's going to buy a ticket because Yadier Molina happens to be sitting in the dugout? Like, that's crazy stuff right there. So it's fun. It's good to have him around. I think most people associated with the team would like him to be more involved than he has been. So I'm glad he's going to be here this weekend.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing. And I think on Oliver Marmol's part, it's cool that he even suggests this, that it's his idea and that he wants, Yadi to be in the dugout because – and Matt, we talk about this all the time, the amount of criticism he gets as the manager, which is the nature of the job, getting criticism happens. But it shows quite a bit of confidence that you allow a player who is as popular as Yadier Molina and who some fans are always talking about being the manager of this team, letting him in the dugout.
Yeah, we talked about it a lot the first time, and Ollie is very comfortable in his own skin. He had a comment that he made, I think it was to Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic, where he mentioned his faith and basically said he believes that, if he is supposed to be the manager of the Cardinals, then there's nobody that can take it from him. And if he's not supposed to be the manager of the Cardinals, well, then he's not supposed to be the manager of the Cardinals. And all he can do is continue to go forward on an everyday basis. And, whether that's a faith-based type thing or whether that's just having confidence in who you are and knowing that the universe is going to put you in the right spot, I think it's a pretty healthy way to look at life.
Yeah, and obviously you can do things to compromise your job security if you're, not smart about it. There's that element. But to Ollie's point, it seems that he's very genuine, very approachable with the Gas House Gang and him joining KMOX for, 30, 40 minutes every Tuesday. He's as honest as you can expect a manager to be. He invited Brant Brown, the hitting coach, to join on Tuesday. You mentioned Yadier Molina. It does feel like Ollie truly has his own vibe is overused, but he has his own vibe. He has his own way of being a Cardinals manager while still fitting into the Cardinals system.
Yes, and he's trying to do what he thinks is best for the team to win games right now and win games long term. And he's not naive. He knows the general thought. He sits there and looks at the comments that are coming in on the stream as he's hosting. And So he is very aware that there is certainly a segment of the Cardinals fan base that is not a fan of his, and I think he does a pretty good job of placing that off to the side and doing what he thinks is best for the Cardinals.
So, I mean, you heard what Brown, the hitting coach of the Cardinals, said. We talked a lot about the Jordan Walker thing. Haven't had the chance to get your thoughts on this, Matt, but it sounded to me like he was and is frustrated with the way things have gone. And he didn't single out Walker. You know, we asked him about that player in particular. But do you get the same sense that maybe the coaching staff is a little frustrated with him and maybe some of the other younger players?
Yes, I think frustration is the number one word on this thing. And it did manifest itself in, you know, specifics about Walker. But I think to your point, there's probably a bunch of guys you could have asked him about, and the answers were going to be somewhat the same. I think it's a little bit more pronounced with Walker. It's damning when the hitting coach talks about the preparation that needs to go in to, you know, any given game, and maybe that's not happening with an individual. But then beyond that, just the fact that you got the sense from Brown that they weren't real happy with the way some of the hitters go about practicing. And look, another one of my pet peeves here, because I've seen it all over social media, you know, people thinking that this is a high school football coach who, you know, if a player isn't doing something, they can blow a whistle and tell him to go run laps. Like, that's mm-hmm. not the way it works in Major League Baseball. These players are their own things, and there are not coaches and not – if a player doesn't want to do a certain type of thing in the afternoon, he basically doesn't have to do it. And if a player doesn't want to take it upon himself to practice in a way where you're turning up the pitching machine to 100 miles per hour and you're taking three steps towards it, if a guy doesn't want to do it, like, there's nobody who's going to force him to do it. So, and it's that way for every organization. This is not something that is unique to the St. Louis Cardinals. But what is I think we're seeing that it's going to be really important for player development to get guys ready for the big leagues and get guys ready for the big leagues, not just in the sense that they know how to, like, play in the big leagues, but also that they know how to continue to practice and perform and prepare and all these things when they get there. So that's part of the process that's going on right now with Heim Bloom and the redo of player development. There's issues. There's a lot of issues that have developed, and they're trying to work through them.
So when we talk about that, the individual is responsible for himself. The counter argument would be, well, it is the manager's job, it is the coaching staff's job to get the player to buy in. How much do you believe in that?
I believe in it in the sense that that is part of the job, but there's also going to be, if a guy just won't buy in, there's a lot of, like, this isn't all bad. So there's a bunch of guys who have bought in. Like, Alec Burleson has completely bought in on everything. And this has been, I was talking about this the other day. You go back a couple years, Burleson, when Albert Pujols was around, saw Pujols doing the thing where he, you know, had the pitch machine at super high velocity and was taking two steps forward, and Burleson's like, wow, that's a way to practice, and he started implementing that into what he was doing. So, and we're seeing Burleson have a career year. It's not like the entire team has just decided to tune out what's going on, but I do think there are some players on the team that are not putting in the type of practice and preparation that the coaches want. So that, I guess the point, if every single player was just tuning out the coach, then I think that's a problem with the coach. There's something going on that players are not reacting to it. If there is a small number of maybe some of the younger guys who are wanting to just kind of continue to do it their way, then I think that comes back more to the player.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt, I think it's fair to say that what Brent Brown said on Gas House about the players and their preparation, and of course Jordan Walker, it probably took a lot of people by surprise. It felt a little bit like in-house stuff. And I know you don't want to read too much into something, but generally when in-house stuff starts to leak out into the media, it's not always a great sign that things are going swimmingly, just historically.
Yeah, I think it was calculated. I think they went in. I could be wrong. This is 100% my opinion, and I'm not 100% sure that I'm right on this one. This is kind of one of those like 51-49 sort of deals. But they knew that they were going to be asked about Jordan Walker going in. They knew that was probably going to be the first question. The dude was supposed to be a superstar, and he's got a sub-600 OPS. Like, of course, they're going to be asked about Jordan Walker. So I do think there was some you know, a calculated measure there. And yeah, just like a couple years ago with the Tyler O'Neill thing, I think it was very calculated by Oliver Marmol. I think it was something that there was some frustration inside of the clubhouse a couple years ago with O'Neill, and Ali was saying something that some of the veteran players wanted him to say when it came to the O'Neill thing. That was my takeaway on it. My takeaway on this one is somewhat similar. I don't know how much it's connected, maybe players being frustrated or not, but I do think there was some level of calculation here. I think they knew they were going to say that. And we would be naive to say that, you know, Ricky Horton was talking about this, I believe, on the broadcast yesterday or 2 days ago, how Whitey Herzog communicated through the media all the time. So it's not something that I love seeing managers do. I think it's something that you try to, you know, have the direct communication first. But is there a time and a place to use the media if you're a manager or a hitting coach or whatever? Yeah, there is. And I would just, my sense, my feeling is they knew that that message was one message that they were going to use. Ronj, not to throw this back on you, but you were doing the interview with them. Do you agree or disagree in the sense that it seems somewhat calculated?
Yeah, I don't think they were at all surprised. And maybe wanted to get it out there. And yeah. I got the sense.
Like not a slip
that this
of the
is,
tongue.
No, yeah. Absolutely not. Because they were very intentional about it. And my sense is this is a last resort kind of thing. Where if this is the first tactic they use, where they go to the press and complain about a player, that might be a little eyebrow raising. But I don't think that's what this is. I think this was they've tried to deliver the message, and it just hasn't gotten through, so what are you going to do? This is it. You go to the press, maybe get that attention on it, maybe it does light a little bit of a fire in him, and, you know, hope you get good results out of it. But at some point, he's got to take responsibility. If all of the things they're talking about, if all those things are actually happening or not happening, he has to take responsibility for them.
And it's also important, at the end of the day, they're doing everything they can to get this guy to turn into a really good baseball player. I mean, this if he just would have better swing decisions and better pitch recognition, he would be an all-star caliber player. He's got one of the fastest swings in all of Major League Baseball. When he makes contact, he hits the living you know what out of it. He is not like, it's so funny to say he of the 250 or so qualified players, he's in like the bottom five, bottom 10. So he is literally one of the single worst hitters in all of Major League Baseball. Yet you can look at him and say he is a couple small tweaks away from being one of the most impactful players in all of Major League Baseball. So if I'm a fan listening to this and I know the entire context around it, my first take is it's not that, hey, I'm going to be mad at Oliver Marmol or I'm going to be mad at Brent Brown because this is inappropriate that they're talking about this publicly. My takeaway is these guys are doing everything. They keep going down the list of things that they can do to help this guy. And this is the next thing on the list because they're trying to unlock a really, really impactful baseball player who just can't get out of his own way right now.
Redbird Rush Hour at 5 o'clock and Sports Open Line at 6 o'clock tonight with our guy, Matt Pauly. Matt, we appreciate you as always, buddy.
You bet. Thank you.
Yo, Pauly, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.